my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who reverence him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who reverence him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as the flower of the field. So he flourishes, and when the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who reverence him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying his voice and of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 103, that talks about the blessing of the Lord and how our when we recognize all that God has done for us, it just evokes a praise out of our hearts. And we even sang it, "Awake, O my soul, and sing." And so I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you would like to come forward and just give thanks, it doesn't have to be long. It could be one sentence. If it is long, be mindful of others. And I think it's appropriate that we give thanks to the Lord this morning. And so if you would like to, I just want you to, you can come on either side. And if there's somebody already talking, just sit in a pew and just wait for them. And then we'll take it from there. The message I have this morning is called "The Fruit of Thanksgiving." All right. Give thanks to the Lord. The fruit of thanksgiving. Psalm 34, 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My boast shall be in the Lord. And the, do you know the next verse? The humble. The humble will hear and be glad. Let me say it again. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord, and let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord, and let us rejoice. Let us exalt his name together. The fruit of thanksgiving comes from humility. Because when you hear or you experience the goodness of God, and that goodness of God can come whether it's a direct line from God or whether it's through God's provision in his creation or whether it's God's provision through people. When we hear it, when we have a humble heart, it produces thanksgiving. When our heart is proudful or when our heart isn't humble, what doesn't happen is a heart of thanksgiving. We will gripe, we will mumble, we will complain, or we'll think that we got this from our own work, our own resource, our own strength. And so in James 1:17, it says that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so because we can recognize that everything we have is a gift, therefore we can give thanks for everything. So when we recognize that everything we have is from the God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, our humble heart says what? Thank you. Thank you for everything. And so I guess what I'm going to list here is if I was just coming up and standing in front of this mic and giving what I'm thankful for. I too am thankful for the family of God. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the body of Christ. I'm thankful that God, and in his design and in his brilliance and his genius, that he decided that he was going to work through people. And obviously it's nice when we have something happen that is a direct, almost like the direct hand of God, like he steps in himself and does something and he doesn't use anybody else. That seems so special. But I would say 99.9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 conduit through which his blessings come. And if that hasn't been your experience yet, hopefully our eyes will be open to that. And so I'm so thankful for the family of God. You know, what makes a family? Is it DNA? Is it blood? Sure, you're gonna be with those people, some of those characters this Thursday. And they are definitely family. 1 Corinthians 13 says that without love, I'm nothing. These things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so what makes a family is love. Where there is love, there is family. Whether they are blood, whether there's DNA, whether they're at your table on Thursday, what makes you a part of someone's family is love. And God has called us to be together. We're in one spirit. He even called us to be together in one church family, that he gave us this blessing of relationship together. There are many, many families of God meeting today, but this is the one he gave us. With all our warts and all our bumps and with all our weaknesses and with all our problems, but God gave us to each other. And soon we're going to be going to the love feast table, to the table of the Lord. And this was really brought home to me in different seasons of my life, how God uses the family of God. And I can remember sitting at the table. We had the absolute privilege of having the Menhearts live with us for about 10 months while they were in transition from their one home to the other home. And so we invited them to live with us. And so ladies are much more nesters and they like to have things a little more specific, but the guys, it was like camp. And we played every night games and board games and card games. And I would say a lot, I would look at Jesse and I would look at everybody, and what would I say, Jess? I would say, enjoy this time because you never know when it's going to end. Me and my family used to go to the airport for entertainment. There was a place called the Kids Port at the airport down one of the sections, Section D, I think it was, doesn't matter. But anyway, my dad, my mom, me, Jackie, our kids, my sister, her family of kids, we would go to the airport and we would eat at the airport. We'd watch planes take off and land, and then we'd go to kids' port. And then 9/11 happened. We can't do that anymore. Now, to you, that may seem like it's a little thing, but that was a big part of our family. That's what we did. It is something little, but it's something you never know that while you're doing it, it could stop like that. My family likes to cruise. That's what we like to do for vacation. And now with all that happened with the pandemic and corona, et cetera, they have whole new guidelines. And so we haven't been able to cruise in quite some time. And who knows if we will in the future. It's there. And then it's gone. Eileen shared that this will be her first Thanksgiving without her dad. And many of you are still experiencing, whether it's the first Thanksgiving that's going to happen without your mom or your dad, or whether it's the second or the third or the fourth. You never know when you have something, and then it's going to be gone. And so there's great wisdom in age, knowing that to learn to experience and be thankful for what you have right now, because you never know when it's going to be different. And so I think of the family of God and how good God was to me when my father passed. God has given me dreams in the past, very significant dreams that deal with my life, my ministry, my family, my future. And he speaks to me through those dreams. Very significant stuff. Stuff I could not have come up with in my own imagination that he has given me. But when my father passed, he gave me personally nothing. But he gave it to four people who were so close to me and to my family. And he gave them dreams and he gave them visions. And he was able to give me comfort through them to know that he was faithful to his promise that he gave me about my family 3 decades earlier. And so the body of Christ, I'm so thankful for. And we're on that journey to learn how precious of a treasure we are to one another. So much so that God gives to the body so that every joint supplies. Each and every one of you have some grace gift, some mercy that God has given you for us. Some, he's given the gift of healing. Do you know, we can pray for healing and we pray for God for to touch our bodies, but there is in God's economy someone or a few people that he has given that gift to, that we're waiting to find that divine connection. It's like a treasure hunt sometimes, like a scavenger hunt that God leads, and God will eventually bring us to a place where you'll be in front of someone that has God's gift for you. Well, no, God's the one. Well, yeah, but why does he give the gift of healing to someone? So that through them, he can give you that gift. Why does God give some the gift of giving? The gift of hospitality. The gift of sarcasm. The gift of comedy. The gift of hospitality, the gift of smile, the gift of whatever. Why does God do that? Because he knows the way that he has created us, and in the fabric of life and the fabric of his kingdom that we come together, and in that every joint is supplied. And so I'm so thankful for the family of God. I'm also thankful for the small things. I think it was Mike that touched on this. Luke 16:10 says that if you're faithful in small things, you'll also be faithful in much. I'm thankful for laughter. I'm thankful for that I can smile. I'm thankful that I can cry. I'm thankful that I have emotions. We talked about emotions in Sunday school. That God didn't make robots. That we can actually, in a moment, and in the moment, experience life in a way through which we personally experience it, whether it makes us laugh, cry, smile, in any way. I'm thankful for those small things. I'm thankful for my appetite. Why are you laughing? Every time, not every time, but a lot of times we go out to eat with some people and One particular individual always comments on how much Burks can eat. It's a gift. It's the gift of appetite. You know how wonderful appetite is? You don't know how wonderful appetite is until you lose it. I'm so thankful for a bed, the little things. I'm so thankful for warmth. I'm so thankful for warm showers. That is probably one of the things that I'm most conscious of during a day, because I hate cold showers. And when I turn on that warmth and I'm regulating the heat, I'm always going, thank you, Lord, for warm showers. I'm thankful for bathrooms. That's a wonderful little thing. And you don't know how thankful you are for bathrooms until one isn't around. And for you younger people, just wait. I'm sure we could all share a funny story. So I'm thankful for bathrooms. I'm thankful, especially in the last 2 weeks, for shoes, since I haven't worn them yet. I'm getting much better, my burns, but I haven't worn a shoe in over 2 weeks, but I'm getting close. I'm thankful for shoes. Not everybody in the world has shoes. I'm thankful for a coat. What a wonderful opportunity that we have to share that blessing with others with the coat drive. And you have a bin out there that we can put a coat in, and that you can participate in that in the coming Christmas event. I'm like, whoo. Eileen's passionate about that. Where are you at, Mama Wanda's daughter? Where was your amen? There it is. She gave two. What do you think of that, Eileen? She gave two amens. I'm thankful for a car, so I don't have to walk. I'm thankful with no shoes. And when Patrick came up, I so liked your flips. I was going to stick mine out in the aisle and show you. I'm thankful for food, shelter, and water. Jesus said, if you have these things, you have everything you need. I'm also thankful for the ability to give. Do you know that when you have the ability to give, that means you have excess? But even if you don't have excess, your ability to give is an even greater blessing, because you're giving out of need. Remember when Jesus was watching the treasury and people were giving all kinds of money, and that little widow woman, she gave two mites, and Jesus said, oh, boys, check this out. Did you see it? Did you miss it? And they're like, what? Like, that woman gave the most out of everybody because she gave out of her need. The blessing to give. Oh, if you haven't found it out yet, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. I was watching an individual, I think it was online. I don't even know how I came across this guy. I don't know who he is. It wasn't a spiritual video. It was just somebody who had created a lot of wealth. I don't even know how he created wealth, but he was talking about how he was sitting in his house and he had everything he needed, everything he ever wanted. He surrounded himself with every toy, car, gift, house that he could ever dream of, and he sat there and he was depressed. And he finally said to himself, you know what? Maybe I should share some of this with others. And he went down to a place where he could give food out to people who were hungry. And he said, I've never felt more alive in my life when I started to give what I had to others. And then now he gives almost all of what he has away. And he said, my life is so full. And this was someone who was not giving glory to God or quoting the scripture, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. He found out this truth on his own, without a pastor, without an imam, without anybody. It is truly more blessed to give than it is to receive. I'm also thankful for the life givers in my life and the life givers that I see in other people's lives. People have truly learned how it is blessed to give. And I personally am, you know, the love languages. Everybody familiar with the love languages? Raise your hand high so I know how many, so I don't have to go. Okay, so I won't have to talk about what they are. I'm not a gift guy. I would say out of all those love languages, that would probably be my lowest. Just a little hint. But what I've learned and had to learn over years is that I was looking at the wrong thing. It's that I was looking at the gift instead of the giver. And so when I see anyone, whether it's to me or to someone else, and they give of themselves and they give of their resources and their time, their treasure and their talents, it blesses me, because that is the character and the nature of God himself, when we take something that is ours and we give it to others. And so for all the grace and the mercy that's given to me because I'm human, I'm thankful for people who are life givers. I'm thankful for my children, my grandchildren. I love to live life as I get older vicariously through others. Since Ray told you 2 weeks ago that he's starting to get better at sports than I am. Is he up there? Good. It's a lie. He's not up there. It's a lie. But let's let him think it. To live life vicariously through others is a wonderful gift. But most of all, I am thankful for my wonderful God, Yahweh, who sought me and he bought me when I wasn't even looking for him. And he sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. Do you remember the song? He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me. Never liked that verse. But he plunged me to victory through the cleansing flood. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to come up, and we're going to prepare for communion. This is the Lord's table. It's not my table. It's not your table. It's not any human's table. It's the Lord's table, which means it's a good table. Which means it's a table of humility, it's a table of love, it's a table of peace, it's a table of patience, it's a table of forgiveness, it's a table of loving your enemies. And so the scripture says when you come to this table, you should examine yourself, because you're eating of the bread and the blood of one who is the servant of all. You're eating the bread, you're eating the body and the blood of the one who gave himself his life a ransom for how many? All many. And so in this kingdom, our God who sits at the head, who sits at the throne, he is meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. And so the scripture says that when we come, we should judge ourselves so that we should not be judged. I have this box up here. Because I wanted to remember to tell you what you're going to be eating as the body of Christ today. This is genuine matzah from the Holy Land. Does it have any spiritual significance or any greater benefit than Salonis? No. It's just that it's been blessed by some rabbi. Because he said he is guaranteeing you it is kosher. As a family, can we stand together? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, starting from verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also have given unto you. On the night the Lord was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it." Now this used to be one piece that all of us have. Used to be one. But we broke it up, and now it's separate pieces. Soon we're about to take it, and spiritually it all becomes one again. Remembrance. We can do that up here, or we can do that spiritually where we dismember something, we can remember something. And so as we take this together as one body and one spirit, we're remembering the body, in that recognizing that whether we're a hand or we're a foot, an arm or a leg, an eye or an ear, that all are equally significant and important. Amen. And so on the night he took bread, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Lord, we thank you for when you were in the garden and you asked the Father, "Is there any other way we can do this?" And you knew there wasn't. You said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Thank you for doing the hard things, Lord. Thank you for doing what was not easy for us. Thank you for giving your body for our sake. You were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon you. And so thank you. And on the same night, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, "This is my blood in the new covenant. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes again. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins." And so, way before there was an earth, way before there was any creation, way before there was anything, there was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. And so God chased after us long before there was ever an us. And I'm so glad he found me. And so here in this house, we raise our glasses and we say, "Thank you, Jesus," to Jesus, or "L'chaim," or "Mazel tov," to Jesus. Amen. No, not us, Lord, no, not us, but to thy name be the glory. For the mystery of righteousness by faith, not of works, so that no man can boast. For we are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of ourselves, so that no man can boast. Thank you for giving of your life. Thank you for the life is in the blood, and we thank you for giving your life for us. No greater love hath any man than he lay down his life for his friends. And we thank you we're your friends, Father, through Christ. We thank you that you are reconciling the world to yourself through Christ, and that you were not counting our sins against us. And he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. And thank you for sealing us with the guarantee of your presence, the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that as a body, as members one of another, along with and by the side of all those in this community who know you and all those in the world who know you, we as a body say thank you. And as we celebrate this coming week, whether we are thankful for any individual things or specific things, they are all directed toward you, the giver of every good and perfect gift. We bless you, Father, and thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody in the house said, amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving and a wonderful week.